The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Ouch. That wasn't a very fun football game. The last time we sat here with the Commanders won on a Hail Mary, Logan.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is obviously the other side of that coin. When you play close football games, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And obviously, like, throughout the game, you're kind of holding out hope that Jane Daniels and the offense could figure it out. And obviously, kind of late into that game, they couldn't quite get it rolling. They just seemed a little bit off on some stuff. And this is the result. I really think the defense did a great job. And I think there were moments where the offense looked absolutely fantastic. But the level of consistency we've come to expect from the group just wasn't there today.
I want to, before we leave this live stream here in the postgame show, by the way, welcome in. Take Command postgame show. I'm Craig Hoffman. That's Logan Paulson, in case you don't know. So I want to talk about the offense. I want to talk about the defense. And I do want to talk about officiating before we leave. I'm not going to whine incessantly about it, but I do want to say something. So before we get out of here, don't let me forget. It's
scared.
A bigger picture
I'm
NFL thing.
I'm scared.
You don't
scared.
Have to. You can slide out of the picture, okay, so you don't get in trouble. But it is a very frustrating game where the Commanders lose 28-27. I also had a moment. I picked them to win but not cover. It was
right.
A 2.5-point spread. So if you get down there, you kick a field goal, you win by two, I would have nailed it. Alas, they did not. Let's start off talking about the offense. This is an offense that still is one of the best in football. Mm-hmm. They ultimately put up 27 points. Yeah, 28-27. Is that what was the final score? Yeah, 28-27. It's right in front of us on the graphic. They put up 27 points on one of the best defenses in football. They put up 17 in a first half where they started with 4 3-and-outs. Mm-hmm. And they found a way to do enough to obviously give them a great chance at the end. But from listening to Jaden Daniels talk postgame and just generally, of course, watching it, this seemed like it was their most difficult test. Why was it so difficult? How did they overcome? And then what more could have been gotten?
I think there's something, you know, like as a player and as a coach and as an analyst, like when you watch a really good defense, it just feels different. The hits sound different when you're on the sideline. The movement to the ball is different. Their communication's different. And, you know, Dan Quinn's always like, you hear a good defense before you see him. And I really felt like the Steelers kind of embodied that tonight defensively. When they're rushing the passer on third down, it's so cohesive as a group with those guys that it's almost overwhelming. They're only rushing four. They very rarely blitz, but you know, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and Keanu Benton and the other guy, number 56, before he gets hurt, like it's overwhelming. And then you couple that with you got Trent Scott in there at right tackle, and I thought he did a really good job, but again, he's not Andrew Wiley, right?
No.
He's not Cornelius Luke. He's not one of the guys you'd feel more comfortable playing a lot of minutes in this game. And I think that showed up in the run game as well as the pass game.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too, is like pass game overall, I think they did a pretty good job. I mean, it's exactly what we talked about with Watt, where he finds a spot
Picks
in a big
moment. Yep.
And it gets a really important pressure late in that game where he crushes Jaden in the end zone on, I think it was third down. But I think the thing that's going to be interesting going back and watching the tape is the run game element. Yeah. They just could not get it going. And Eckler had some key pickups.
Yep.
You know, Chris Rodriguez gets in there and looks to have a nice couple of carries to try as they try to, you know, march down the field at the end of the game. One gets called back on Bates, and then all of a sudden they're in a second and super long hole. Jaden just misses Luke McCaffrey.
That was tough.
But that's the kind of thing when you're out of, like, when you're out of rhythm, you're out of rhythm, mm-hmm. which is the most obvious thing in the world to say. But you have more of those. Oh, he normally hits that misses when you feel the pressure of those mm-hmm. moments, and you're just not in the same rhythm that for Jaden he's been in all year.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect way to articulate it. I don't know if there's anything for me to add there, really. It's just, you know, when you watch the Giants game, you're always like, he's got this. And mm-hmm. in this game, there was a moment where you're like, he's struggling in a way we haven't seen him struggle this year. And not that he played bad.
No, I want to say that he still had some really nice moments in this game.
I don't get it twisted. I think he's still an excellent football player. In some ways, like, there was maturation and growth in this game too, but you could tell it was a little bit more difficult, a little bit more laborious than it's been over the past couple of weeks. And that was for the running backs. That's for the O-line. That's for the receivers. You know, Terry had a huge game, but there were downs where it was a physical game there on the perimeter for those guys. And so lots of stuff to glean, lots of stuff to learn from. The only thing that I'm a little bit frustrated is that it happens in a short week. You know, like this is a physical football game. Guys are banged up on the sideline, and now you gotta go play Philadelphia at Philadelphia. And I think that's the only thing, is you're hoping you win this one because it feels like it should be easier to win this one. But again, like you don't get it done, and got to deal with the short week anyway.
Yeah, Philly's week is even shorter. As we it's 5:40 as we do this Sunday afternoon, and I'm looking behind you over your shoulder, Logan, and Philly's in the middle of the second quarter there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, Philly's still going, so it's a short week for them too, and I'm sure Dan will have that message. It's like, hey, no excuses. It's a short week for both of us. To take the lessons out, I think, is interesting. And, you know, one of the stats that's been really interesting on Daniels this year, his completion yard or completions over expected has been really high. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just completed a lot of things that are, in theory, based off the statistics, improbable.
Yeah.
But he does it so consistently that I think it's just a testament to his accuracy.
Sure.
And I feel like some of those are the completions today. And I think one of the things, early prediction on the tape here, is that we're going to be pretty happy with his decision-making,
right,
and it's going to be the accuracy. And sometimes that's going to be pressure, and sometimes it's kind of that lack of rhythm or just, hey, man, like, it's NFL football, and you're not going to be awesome every week.
Yeah, and I think, again, I just wish people could experience, like, watching the game on the sideline, because it felt fast. The windows were closing quicker. The rush was getting home quicker, and to negotiate that was tough, I think, for him. And I think it accelerated some stuff. He missed some throws he normally makes. I think there were some really key drops in this game also that were kind of devastating, and they came at kind of really inopportune times. So there was a lot of things. And I think when you go back and watch the tape for a game like this, you know, hopefully this team is built and wired the right way where you can learn from it. You say, oh, like, if I'm Zach Ertz, I got to catch that third and whatever that was, or the second or whatever for the first down. If I'm Austin, maybe I can squeeze this in here, or maybe I got to be better with the protection. And if you all grow from this, then it's going to be a productive situation, and it's going to make this team better. It's like you're galvanized through fire. This is a fire type game. That's a good football team. Maybe not the best in the NFL, but they're a good football team, physical, tough, strong cultural identity for sure.
Yeah, I think it was interesting is one word I could use. Cool. I don't know that anyone's in the mood for cool right now, but, like, it was actually kind of cool seeing Jaden in the postgame presser. Like, he had a little bit of edge to him, but also, I think, very wide eyes.
Yeah, what did,
like,
he say? Was he?
I think that the quote that's in my mind as I describe kind of the atmosphere is, he said, you know, anybody can look. He was asked about the mistakes and the opportunities left on the field.
Yeah.
And he was like, anybody can watch the tape and tell that. And, like, he's just honest about it. Mm. And I think that is part of the culture here, is that some guys more externally than internally, but certainly internally, they are very, very honest about their own performance.
Yeah.
And so there are things in this game that Jaden's going to wish he had done better. There are things Jaden did perfectly that other guys let him down. And then, obviously, as we're about to talk about, the defense, down in, down out, like, the amount of time they wrote stuff down.
And they made some big plays too.
But the problem is they had big plays made on them. And this is not to toot our own horns, but, like, we kind of said this is what the game would be.
Yeah.
Like, it is a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is built on running the football. Even though they're not amazing at it, they're just going to keep doing it. And then they are going to hit big shots down the field.
Yeah.
And I'll bite the bullet first, because we talk about BSJ a lot. I already see the comments going.
Are they going crazy?
And people are like, as Craig would take a bullet for BSJ. To be very clear, no, I wouldn't. I hope to not be in that situation. That got very dire once I realized how serious that comment was. The like, he played that 3rd and 9 horrendously. Like, just he did. I will say, my God, what a stand-up dude. I will say that. Like, the way he was accountable in the locker room, like, that's all you should want out of your guys in terms of the accountability factor, and that gives you the hope that maybe he can grow from it. But it does get to a point where it's just like, how many times is the same thing going to happen? And he nailed exactly what was wrong on that play. He did not play the fade.
Yeah.
And in that situation, knowing what Pittsburgh likes to do, you have to know that is coming. It is a ridiculous throw by Russell Wilson. He puts it that thing within 2 yards of the sideline. But you can't let Mike Williams buy you there. If you give up a first down on a 15-yard comeback, like, they have to score a touchdown. Giving up field goal range doesn't matter. It's a bad play. I also don't like the call. We can talk more about that in a second. Yeah. But like, he knows it. It doesn't make it any better because he's known it on a bunch of other ones too. And he can say, like, next time I got to play it differently in this situation. And I know, but we've been in this situation before and the same thing happened. And like, that is I just one thing to close that thought. That is objective analysis of it. That does not change who he is as a person. That is not a reflection of how hard he works or any of that stuff. Yeah. That is a reality of NFL football. Not everyone gets to be great at it. The reality is that was not good enough in that situation, and anybody can agree on that.
No, I think that's 100% right. And I think, you know, it's funny when you go back through the tape, you'll probably be like, oh, like, that's a pretty good player. That's good coverage, because there's a couple coverage sacks in this game where he's out there, he's covering people. And so he doesn't get recognition for that because obviously this moment's big.
Since the Carolina game, this defense was number one in EPA per play against the pass.
Yeah.
Number one. And not like, oh, they improved a lot. Not they improved those. They were the number one team in the league. And he was out there for all those snaps. He was also out there for that one in that corner of the end zone. Yeah. That was a problem.
No, 100%. And so I think it's like, that's the play, right? But there's a million plays that people don't make that you don't see, or there's a million plays that people do make that never get talked about or never get discussed. And so I do think that, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of things that he would like to do differently on that. No doubt about it. And again, this is something that we can talk about more when we get to the All-22, because it's like, what's the coverage? I don't remember the exact situation. I don't remember the exact down and distance, but, you know, maybe slant is a priority there, or maybe he's by himself.
It was 3rd and 9.
Yeah. So again, I don't know. We'd have to go back and watch, and maybe it could have been a hitch that converts versus press. I have no idea. We got to go back and watch. So we'll reserve that. If you want more detailed, we can talk about there, but ultimately you say you got to make that play. And then you said something about the call, and I'm not in the business of second guessing coaching decisions most of the time, because in the moment I didn't hate the call. And so I'll tell you why. So first off, they were probably the most effective they've been when they were blitzing throughout the game. And so for me, it's like, you know, that's the thing that's gotten you here. That's the thing that's gotten these defensive efficiencies. And so, you know, dance with the girl that brung you kind of thing. And so like, if you're going to do it early, you can do it late. And the pressure was there. Russell Wilson does a great job buying some time. Really nice ball. And again, so that's the other thing that's tough about this game is like, we can sit here and dissect everything, but they get paid too. And I was standing literally right at the corner there. And that was, I thought, there's no way this ball gets completed because the receiver is too close to the sideline and the ball just dropped right in the basket. So kudos to them, made a great play. And again, BSJ, like you talked about, he's going to be self-critical. And I hate to bring this up now, but this is the reason why you sign Marshawn Lattimore. Uh-huh. Like, I think
100%.
I think you get him out of these situations where he's super leveraged and he has to make these types of plays, because he's, I don't remember, I don't want to comment on anymore because I don't remember the exact formation, but we can talk about that more on.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he's fairly isolated. It's a 3rd and 9, and he, like, I watched enough replays. Yeah. Like, he was pretty flat-footed on it. Yeah. And I feel confident then saying, like, he did not play the technique right, because he said that in the post game.
Yeah, no.
So we'll get more detail on it on the film review. But, like, yeah, no, after you give up a couple, because the other thing, too, is I think they went at him in key situations a number of times and had success. And that seems to be something that eventually the narrative of, like, offensive coordinators kind of know they can go at that dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, like, the good news is they already have the replacement in house, and whether it's a direct replacement and Sainer still stays outside, or it's just getting him in more deleveraged situations because Lattimore doesn't need help on the other side. Like, they've already made that move. They just need Marshon Lattimore's hamstring to get right. And we'll see if he's ready to go on Thursday.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. And so, is he ready by Thursday? Who knows? But ultimately, this is why you give up all that draft capital. You bring a guy in like that is because they know, we know,
right?
Like, everyone knows. Like, then, and again, ultimately, this is going to be good for BSJ, I think, because it's going to keep him out of these spots where he can't be the best version of himself.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, really tough late, the Johnny Newton play, 4th and 1. You do have all your timeouts after that. You get the defense back on the field. They get their stops. It's 4th and 1. You don't even know if they have play call there. I bring that up not to be like, oh, by the way, let's hate on the rookie. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really interesting when Dan talked about that play in the post game, and then a couple other of his teammates talked about it, of basically being like, hey, one, it's not one play. And you've been a part of a locker room where whether it's Benjamin or Johnny, or, you know, maybe Zach is feeling bad about not getting an extra half yard of depth on that on that play. Like, there's a bunch of one plays in this game that people could look to, and in certain, I'm sure fans will say, like, oh, that's the play. And, like, in a 1-point game, they're all the play. Yeah. That's kind of the nature of it.
I mean, shoot, even penalties, like the penalty, like, it's small stuff. The holding call on Chris Rodriguez that takes you from 3rd and 1 to whatever, 3rd and 8 or whatever that was.
Yeah, the Bates hold.
Yeah, the Bates hold. The incomplete pass to Luke, like you talked about. The incomplete pass to Zacchaeus. The drop by Zach. Like, you go back and you can chart this and be like, if you make any one of those plays, I'm very confident the complexion of this game is completely different. The muff punts. Like, yes. I mean, that was another thing we didn't really talk about. But they ultimately, what I would say if I was the coach is, like, we did not play well enough to win.
Yes.
Give them their credit. And again, we have to learn from these mistakes. Because one of the things that we've talked about this on this show, talked about on, you know, Command Center, everything, is this team was playing at a crazy high efficiency clip for a long time.
Yep.
And now we're kind of normalizing. And how do we handle that as a roster?
Well, I think that's the thing. Are they normalizing, or do they play one of the best defenses in the league?
But that's my point, though. It's like you can't always rely on that level of efficiency all the time, because the opponent could be really good. And so what do we do? How do we find those inches? Everyone talks about that. You know, the Al Pacino speech from Any Given Sunday. Where are the inches? And it's the drops. It's the holds. It's all these little things that ultimately lead to this result.
And there's some that are complete, like, it's one thing, you know, I didn't get a chance to see the replay of the Bates hold, but sometimes you hold because you get beat, and getting a holding penalty is better than a guy going blindsiding your back and, you know,
fumble potentially.
So sometimes these errors are forced. Lining up off sides, unforced error.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of those types of things in this game. And I think those are the ones that drive coaches. And I know they're the ones, because he talks about them, that drive Dan absolutely up a wall.
Bonkers.
And so those are some big spots. But to circle back quickly to the Newton point, the way that they came together and like, it's not even defending him to the press. I don't think that, like, anybody in the press conferences or anything were, you know, attacking Johnny Newton for that. Yeah. You understand that it's a really tough spot, and as a rookie who's obviously got to do better, it's very plain. But the way they talked about how they went up to him and just said, hey man, like, we're with you, like, this is not on you. Mm-hmm. How can that help a young player continue an ascension that has been very good outside of that one play? Because he had a bunch of plays in this game that were excellent.
Yeah, I think it's, as a young player, as an old player, you're going to make mistakes. And one of the things about playing a team sport is you have other people there to support you. And I think if they were to kind of be like, oh man, Johnny, you really jack this up. Like, that makes you feel different. It makes you feel like you're not part of the group. And now it's like, I got, these guys got my back. I feel safe. I feel secure. I feel confident, and I can continue to get better. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you bring in, you know, Bobby Wagner and Zach, and these guys have done it for a long time at a high level. Cause I guarantee you, Bobby Wagner's make mistakes. Like, that's the thing, is everyone with a gold jacket has made a mistake like that before,
yeah,
something like that in their career, whether it's at high school, college, whatever. And so they know how that feels. And the great ones can say, hey, hey, young buck, let's get this thing right, and let's not make that mistake again.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else, offense, defense, special? I mean, obviously special teams. They get kind of lucky on that fake punt that dude drops it.
Yeah.
What a call. I don't know whether that was on or whether it was a quick adjustment that they made.
It was incredible.
Once they saw Butler come in, but hey, that goes the right way. And that thing basically flips the game. The Commanders' offense was rough to start that game, and then they can score there, and then, you know, things get a little bit better after. Any other stuff before I address the officiating?
Again, like, we got to go back and watch it, but I really think, you know, that fumble down here is great, but it almost hurts you because you end up not having enough time. And the other thing is the field position battle, right?
Yeah.
So you have to punt from inside your own end zone after that. They get the ball at the 50. They walk down and score. It's kind of a sudden change-ish. The defense was on the field the whole way and again, I'm not saying don't pull the ball out. I'm just saying in the world of hypothetical situations, it seems like it would have been better for the offense if they would have scored there, because you would have got the ball at the 35.
Yeah. Then again, Luke McCaffrey, is wide open.
That makes me sick just thinking about it.
You know, it's at least a 35-yard gain, if not a 90-yard touchdown, if Luke can run away. So, yeah. Here's what I'll say about the officiating. Officiating the NFL is really hard. Officiating in professional sports is really, really hard. The NFL is also a multi-billion dollar operation, and the fact that they screw up calls that can be replayed drives me absolutely insane. That is a first down by Zach Ertz. It just is. Like,
I don't know if it's a first down, but they definitely should have measured it on a respot. It should have been respotted, I think.
It should have, based off the replays I saw.
Yeah.
I know the yellow line is unofficial on television, but like, he catches the ball on the correct side of the 41-yard line. That should have been a first down. The game should have continued from there. And the fact that that call stands as called on the field, it can be close and also wrong. Like, if you lose 51-49, like, it's still the 51 side. Like, that is how that goes. That one drives me nuts. Johnny Newton had a fumble on, I think it was Najee Harris, on top of the pile.
Yeah.
And Dan basically was like, yeah, we were told that there was no conclusive, like, whatever
angle.
And, you know, like, that's a fumble. It's a bad call. And I think the thing that drives me nuts is this league has so much money, and they invest in so many things. And this is, yes, it cost the Commanders today. And there's some other calls in this game. Talk about juice. That face mask that doesn't get called on Pickens right in front of the ref when Pickens stiff arms him.
Yeah.
That's atrocious.
Yeah.
Like, there's some really, really obvious stuff that is really, really bad that needs to get cleaned up. And yes, a lot of those calls go against the Commanders today. And if you're a Commanders fan and you want to be mad at the team in stripes, I totally understand. But it's not just this game. There are just too many calls. The Thursday night game has a really controversial ending across the league. There's just got to be a better way. And some of it is probably rewriting some of these rules to be clearer, to be easier to officiate. I think there needs to be more work on getting clarity to media and fans, whether that is directly to fans or via the media to the fans. But we can't have, as a league and as a sport, a game that feels like it is controversial with this amount of frequency, or this many games that feel controversial. I know it's hard. We have a lot of technology. There has got to be a better way to do this, because it just feels like too often, too many fan bases feel like they're getting screwed, and there's enough merit to those feelings that is not a good way to exist. It's just not a healthy way to exist as a sport.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a former player, so for me, the refs are like the weather. Like, there'll be a game where we'll get lucky there, and I think if you go back and you look at Pittsburgh's 100%. Calls, right, it's not great, but it's universally not great. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they're biased. It's like there was a couple of PIs in here that led to the explosive play. Like,
it tends to come out in the wash.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't bother me.
If you're a fan of the Commanders, you forget about all the calls that went your way.
Correct, yeah.
Or it's not just within a game, but over the course of the season.
And it's like the holding calls that are missed, the PIs that are missed, all these different calls, right? And so, to me, over the course of a season, it's probably fine. But in a smaller sample size like this, like, yes, it's impactful.
It's impactful. And I think that's my point, is not to say that the Commanders got screwed and they should be 10-0 because of the three games they lost. They got screwed by X, Y, and Z. Yeah, there's some bad calls in all those games, but the consistently not good enough level of officiating, and specifically, and this is true across all sports, when stuff, whether it's VAR in soccer, the reviews in basketball, that just get messed up on replay when the guys are standing right at it frame by frame, that drives me up a wall. And I felt like they really missed a bad one and a pretty important spot on that fourth and nine today. And thus, the Commanders do not get a chance to kick a field goal. And I'm extra mad about it because I would have been right on my prediction.
Yeah, Logan. That's really the core of it.
The core of this is I am selfish. All right. That's our show. Some of you are like, yeah, you are. Go. Okay, fine. Last but not least, actual cherry on top here. Congrats to our buddy John Kine. 500 games. He's actually got a lot more episodes of his podcast than that. He's like episode almost 900 or something. I feel like we're slacking. 500 games covered for Kine. So as we sign off here, go listen to the John Kine report and see what he had to say about the game. That's Logan. I'm Craig. We'll see you next time. Appreciate you joining us live on YouTube or listening here to Take Command.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.